You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
This podcast is brought to you by Voyage AC.
Hey, did you know that as far as meteorologists are concerned, the first day of spring is actually March 1st, which means that we're actually 1 week into spring, which means that soon the outside air will be filled with all these amazing fragrances.
I think I see where you're going with this.
I think you do, because that means people will be looking for ways to make their home smell as beautiful as the outdoors.
And that's where our sponsor comes in, right?
Right. Voyage AC has all those incredible candles, diffusers, and gorgeous face and body products, and home fragrances. So how can our listeners find Voyage AC, Ann?
You can find Voyage AC on our website at theonlyonepod.com, or you can go to www.voyageac.com directly. That's VoyageEtci.com.
And as you know, Melanie, she's willing to give my friends and family discount to all our listeners right now.
What?
Right? That's 15% off everything you buy.
And all you need to do is enter the code HUN, that's H-O-N, at checkout.
That's right. All you have to do is enter the code H-O-N when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is the ultimate luxury blend of travel, design, and scents.
Several times a week, Laura will turn to me after we get into bed and say those six little words I've been waiting to hear all day. Can I read something to you? Once I've said yes, she reaches for an item from her very cluttered nightstand and proceeds to bring that book, blog post, poem, essay, or article to life with her voice. I hope you enjoy listening to her read as much as I do. Here's this week's selection from Laura's nightstand.
So as Scott said, this is on my nightstand, and I am Laura Cathcart Robbins. And today, I'm actually reading one of my pieces. This is an article that was published on Valentine's Day of this year in HuffPost Personal. It's called, "A Black School Principal Changed My Life. Here's Why We Need Black People in Positions of Power," by Laura Cathcart Robbins. Okay, here we go. I arrived in my striped Oshkosh overalls for my first day of my new Cambridge, Massachusetts school, holding my mother's hand. Earlier that morning, she had brushed Alberta VO5 into my shoulder-length hair until it shone, and then fashioned it into two thick braids. At first glance, it looked as though instead of a school, I might have stumbled onto the set of the Brady Bunch. All around me were girls in bright tops, flowered bell-bottoms, mini-dresses, and white tights. The next thing I noticed was their hair, silky shades of waist-length brown and blonde tresses cascading down from center parts everywhere I looked. All the faces I saw were white, including the kids, including the parents, including the teachers. I remember looking up at my mother's brown face for reassurance and feeling her squeeze my hand. The look in her eyes seemed to say, "Wait for it." Moments later, a black woman in a dashiki strode into the room. She was brown, browner than both me and my mom put together. the color that some black people call original brown, like brown crayons or chocolate. She had full lips that matched her skin exactly and wore her natural hair in a large afro. The moment she entered the room, you could feel the molecules in the air rearranging themselves. The teacher stood a bit straighter. Those chatty white parents got quiet one by one and cautioned their kids with their eyes to do the same. Before she even opened her mouth, you understood that this woman was important. All the energy in the room was suddenly funneled toward her, and she seemed entirely comfortable with that. She looked at all of us, but stopped when her eyes found mine. Her sudden smile was dazzling, mesmerizing, like a shooting star, like the sun. "I'm Principal Jackie Scott," she said, addressing us all. "But you can call me Jackie." During the infamous summer of 2020, our nation started scrambling. Educational search firms scoured their lists for candidates of color. The demand for corporate DEI consultants skyrocketed, and everyone from your corner mom-and-pop store to your favorite show grappled with now what is widely known as the diversity dilemma. But even after spending millions on diversity efforts, 91% of film studio heads are white, while black people account for only 0.8% of CEOs and make up less than 10% of higher education professionals. It's not enough to have people from marginalized groups working in your company or organization. Diversity at the leadership level is crucial in order to ensure equity at every tier and normalize black and brown people as key decision makers. And while I'm slightly heartened to see that at least some of the effort is being made, the fact is that hiring black is, like the hashtag, hashtag black hires, trending. Which means that while hiring black folks to fill vacancies in our nation's C-suites may be in fashion, if we remember our history, it's also temporary. And while right now there may be more opportunities for us black folks, we understand that this newly opened window will be closing once again soon, and that many of us will be scrambling to get inside when it does. Former Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores, who was recently fired, alleged in a lawsuit that he was duped into participating in a sham head coach interview with the New York Giants. In the 58-page class action suit, Flores said the Giants had already made their choice before his interview and offered the position to someone else. He filed the lawsuit not against the Dolphins, not against the Patriots, but against the entire NFL on the basis of discrimination. Now, I don't really follow sports, but I know this is much bigger than football. Coach Flores is willingly and knowingly risking his coaching career to call attention to the importance of diversity at the highest levels of any organization. And while this rage against the machine is making headlines, my fear is that it will go the way of the 13 former black football players who sued the University of Iowa for racial discrimination in 2019. Who, you might ask? Which is exactly my point. I believe that Coach Flores's case is worthy of all our collective attention because I know that my life and the lives of my white classmates were greatly impacted by a black person in a position of power. I was 12 when my family moved across the country and I had to leave my little school in Cambridge. But during the 7 years as a student there, several other black families enrolled, due in no small part to the fact that we famously had a black head of school. Jackie Scott was a legend. She greeted every kid at the door in the morning, attended every away soccer game, and was interviewed more than once by the Boston Globe. Eventually, I forgot to marvel at the fact that this strong, unapologetically black woman, who refused to alter the way she spoke or modulate her tone around white people, was in charge. I forgot to be scared that someone might be so challenged by her hair or her attire that they would try to take her down a peg or call for her removal. No matter what my white peers thought about Jackie Scott, the fact was they spent 8 hours a week every weekday in an educational institution headed by a black woman. This at a time when President Richard Nixon had declared a war on black people, otherwise known as the war on drugs. And in neighboring Boston, black kids were getting spit on and called nigger as they stepped off school buses in white neighborhoods. The American dream, that lie passed down from generation to generation, is that anyone, regardless of where they're born and what class they're born into, can be successful, provided that they work hard enough. So what conclusions can a white person come to about the intersection of race and success if they've never seen a black person in power? And if black and brown kids never saw black adults in their lives wearing a tie or sitting behind a desk, wouldn't it make sense that they to believe that only white people could rise to positions of authority? The example set for me by Jackie was a lasting and powerful one. Despite the messaging I got on television and in our history books, because of her, it rarely occurred to me that there were limitations to what I could do or be. The optics matter. Seeing black football coaches, black CEOs, black congresspeople, black senators, and black board chairpersons matters, not just to black and brown people, but to folks of the dominant culture as well. If all people are created equal, then where is the equity? Why aren't we putting more of our significant resources toward making sure that every member of our country's population is represented at all levels? But it's going to take a lot more than some righteously outraged black folks to move the needle on this issue. We need more people like Reddit's Alex Ohanian, who stepped down from his position on the board and called for his company to fill his position with a black board member. And more bills, such as the one that California Governor Gavin Newsom signed into law in 2020, requiring publicly traded corporations to give people from underrepresented communities a seat at the table, the board table, that is. And more inclusion writers, the concept Frances McDormand mentioned during her 2018 Oscar speech that guarantees a certain level of diversity in casting and production staff. During this month set aside to celebrate and acknowledge the achievements of black people, I often think about Jackie Scott. What would my life have been like if our principal, like all of our students, had been white? Would I have known that my brown skin was something to be proud of, and my kinky hair was a crown to be worn with dignity? While visiting the East Coast a few years ago, I stopped into that school, hoping against hope that Jackie Scott might still be there. I really wanted to tell her that because of her, I'd grown up secure in the knowledge that I too could be someone who was respected and admired by all people. I wanted her to know that she made a difference. Walking into the school, I was 10 years old again, but the classes, which were all visible from the hallway, were now populated with an array of black, brown, and beige faces. When the interim head of school, a young Asian woman, received me into her office and smiled when I told her story. "Yes," she said. "I know who Jackie Scott is." She told me that Jackie had retired some time ago, but still occasionally dropped by to say hello. "Would you mind telling her I stopped by?" I said. "Of course," she replied. "Oh, and this too. Please let her know that just by being there, not only did Jackie make it okay to be black, she actually made it something to be both respected and admired. And for that, I will be forever in her debt."
Oh, hun, let's not forget our Patreon shout-outs.
Oh, no. We have some really good ones,
hun.
Yeah,
we got some new ones.
Yeah,
welcome to the crew.
But first, we have our OG Patreon, Rose Pricks Podcast.
It's still the only way I watch The Bachelor.
So The Bachelor this season has been a wild ride, full of lies, deceptions, and unknowns. That's good stuff.
Yeah, that is. That's a, right? a good recipe, yeah.
Something. And if you have a love-hate relationship with The Bachelor, then the podcast Rose Pricks is for you.
Uh-huh.
Fellow comedians Angel Laquita Moore and our very own Stephanie Wilder Taylor.
Stephanie.
They dissect the drama, plus have important discussions on race, mental health, and feminism. But most of all, they keep it real. Real funny, that is.
Yep, they do. Hilarious.
New episodes drop Monday night or Tuesday morning if they're too tired.
I love that.
Right? So find them anywhere you listen to your podcasts.
All right, honey. So tell us, who is our next Patreon that we're shouting out today?
We have a new patron in Mercedes Cusick, LMFT. So excited about this. She's our friend and a supporter of the show, and we love her family.
Mercedes.
She is a licensed trauma therapist and certified EMDR therapist.
All right. You're going to tell me more about that, right?
Yeah. What that means that she's had advanced training in complex and developmental trauma, and she's doing something pretty incredible. It's called EMDR Intensives.
Hmm.
So this is a concierge curated program that's just for you, anyone who's listening. EMDR intensives range from half a day to several days and are the equivalent of, get this, 2 to 6 months of weekly therapy.
Wow. So what I'm understanding is that these intensives allow you to unpack the past and the pain without having to deal with everyday life stuff like carpools, morning meetings, presentations,
exactly,
stuff like that.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly, hon. Yeah. So Mercedes EMDR intensives allow you to update old narratives about how you get to show up in the world, who you are, and what you deserve.
Right. And these intensive formats, they decrease treatment time and they save you a lot of money in the long run.
They do. Mm-hmm. They do. So if you want to start feeling better now, and why wouldn't you, then EMDR intensives are the way to go. And California residents, click the link in our show notes to find the link to Mercy Cusick's website and book your EMDR intensive today.
Yeah, and don't live with the pain of the past traumas any longer than you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy Cusick, LMFT, licensed trauma therapist, is located in Woodland Hills, California. Her website is www.mercedescusick.com. That's MercedesCusick.com.
Nice spelling, hon.
Thanks, hon. So, who's next?
Yeah, our final shout out of the day is for our friend Kathleen Hahn.
Oh, Kathleen, one of my favorite fans.
She is. And I was just saying that she's like been the official like secret taster of all our recipes before.
I mean, honey, we've been running everything kind of by her as it comes out.
Yes. From the very inception of the podcast to where we are now, she's always been a great fan, a great supporter. I think she wrote one of our first reviews on Apple Podcasts.
She did, didn't she? Yeah.
Yeah. And thank you so much, Kathleen, for joining our Patreon. Shout out to you. And we're going to hear more about Kathleen next month. So stay tuned. On My Nightstand is a special segment of the Only One in the Room podcast. Today's episode was produced by Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, and executively produced by Christina Barcy, who we call Barcy. Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible, brand new Only One interview, and every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading from something that I love. If you have an Only One in the Room story or a piece of writing that you'd like to share, please submit it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.